Bones. Bones.
Bong.
Bears arrested at Euston Station.
Bong.
German man caught by Google Street View climbing naked into boot of car.
Bong.
Chihuahua becomes police dog.
Bong.
Stoke-on-Trent like Afghanistan.
Bong.
Eat and run student banned from Mayfair.
Bong.
Ahmadinejad's Peugeot 504 available to buy.
Bong.
Piggy bank made from real pig prompts death threats.
Bong.
Royal wedding, Kate Middleton and Prince William to share anniversary with Adolf Hitler.
Bong.
TV presenter wears meat costume.
Bong.
Google fans pelt German homes with eggs.
Bong.
Israeli army uses Facebook to catch draft-dodging women.
Is that it?
That's Wong's one for this week.
Here comes another big
Those are your big news stories from the week. Why was the bear arrested? That's what I want to know.
A bear? There were no bears being arrested.
Happy Monday bears.
It's in the plural of bear.
I thought there were bears being arrested at the station.
Well, that might have happened since we've gone to air.
Well, there are a multitude of reasons why bears might be arrested.
That's true.
Any in particular this time, or just being bears?
No, just general bit of bezzery. You know how it is.
Bezzery. Okay, hello, I'm Sam.
Hello, I'm Tom. How's it going?
Good.
Are you winning in the game of life?
I like to think so,
yeah.
But I think life is poised to make a counterattack.
That's true. Can make a comeback. The game's not over yet. What's been going on in your world this week? Anything exciting?
In my world, nothing too much exciting happening in my world.
What about in the world of news?
Ah, the world of news. It's non-stop excitement.
Give me some of that excitement.
Well, if you manage to make it through the wedding pages of the newspaper, you might have found out that
is a difficult battle.
It's tough. Buried in the centre pages, there's something about a war in Korea. Did you hear about this?
I have heard about this, indeed. Yeah, but I don't know exactly what's going on. Should we be worried? I mean, how worried should I be about this?
I don't know if we... It's hard to say. No one really knows what's going on in North Korea.
That's true.
According to some reports, Kim Jong-il's pudding-faced 27-year-old son, Kim Jong-un, is now in charge. He's running the show. But we don't really know. No one knows.
Okay. Well, so you don't know how worried I should be about this?
I don't know.
How's it going to impact on mine?
Probably a bit worried, because you don't know how worried you should be.
Okay,
that makes me slightly
worried, for sure.
Like Jez from Beach Show said, these things are more interesting if you pick a side.
That's true.
So have you picked a side?
Well, I mean, I guess I naturally lean towards South Korea, but after the World Cup, I think I really enjoyed North Korea. They battled hard. They only just lost 2-1 to Brazil, which was, plucky.
I've also felt like getting behind North Korea.
Yeah, well, they're the ultimate underdog. Mm. A woman at work, her son, drew North Korea in a ballot of the teams they all had to support. So he had to support North Korea.
He didn't draw North Korea in a drawing lesson.
No. How would they know what it looked like? So the kid was North Korea. She was like, "Does he now have a confined in North Korea shirt?" I was like, "I don't know. I don't think that you can buy one." So I looked into buying a North Korea shirt. So I mean, I'm torn. It's hard to get one, by the way, if you're wondering.
Sarah Palin's picked a side. She said on Glenn Beck's radio show, "Obviously, we've got to stand with our North Korean allies." The presenter checked that she meant South Korea. She did actually mean South Korea, but it's an easy mistake to make.
I mean, it really is. I think that was the whole point. I think North Korea were just trying to blow up another part of North Korea, but they made the classic mistake and went for the wrong Korea.
That's probably it.
That's the problem with these Korea politicians.
Thanks.
I'm here all week.
Can you give any Korea advice? What should they be doing?
It's hard to know. Did you ever, back in the day when I was at school, we used to do... This is going back to the career advice with a C. I did a sort of computer program which tells you what job you should do by answer a series of questions.
Yep.
Do you remember what yours came out with? All I remember was people got chosen as a fence erector. That was a really popular one.
Yes, my brother got a fence erector.
Yeah, fence erector. That was a classic one that a lot of people got.
My friend got pop band manager.
That's good.
That was good. I can't remember. Obviously, mine must have been really boring because I can't remember what I actually got.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, I don't know why fence erector... Someone's having a laugh, aren't they? How much do you think they paid to get this software? Someone came up to the school and was like, oh, I've got this great... It's like a whole government-wide program, because the whole country seems to have done this computer program at some stage.
Probably what it's trying to tell us is we need more fence erectors in society. Have you ever met a fence erector?
I never have. I've met a lot of people who should be fence
erectors. There's evidence we need more fence erectors, surely.
Well, possibly. I mean, I've never needed a fence to be erected, so...
Mm.
That equivalent thing, you know.
But you never know. One day...
I've never met someone who stuffs poodles for a living, but... Well, and that doesn't mean that we need more of them.
I've never seen a stuffed poodle, but we see lots of fences, and fences are things that we actually need. No one needs a stuffed poodle.
Okay, right, well, you know, okay. So, this is my main worry, but I don't know really how concerned to be about this. So Sarah Palin, we don't know which side she's on. She claims that she's made a slip there, but really, how do we know?
We don't know. That's precisely the thing. And rumours now building that she's gearing up for a run on the presidency.
Yeah, I've heard about this. Mm. That's worrying, isn't it?
It's quite worrying, but maybe it's not worrying. Maybe she's so stupid that the Republicans can't possibly win if she's their candidate.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that guy George Bush, who was incredibly stupid. He got two terms, so let's not be hasty.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole country voted for him. That's, you know, it wasn't even just a sort of party nomination. Mm. So let's hold fire.
Okay.
Obama's taken a bit of a beating in the polls, isn't he?
He certainly has.
You know what happens? People react against what came beforehand. It's like, you know, you have an ex-girlfriend, she's a little bit mental, whether you go for one who's a little bit sort of more normal. And if you've gone with one who's more normal, you think, that was kind of boring. I want to go with a mental one, i.e. hot and mental. Sarah Palin all over it.
She's not that hot. I don't. Why is everyone saying she's hot?
Well, it's relatively, this is for politicians.
Compared with
Theresa May.
John McCain. Or...
Yeah, John McCain, Theresa May, Thatcher.
Obama's written a children's book, hasn't he?
I don't know about this. How has he got time to be doing that? He should focus.
Well, I think he wrote it before he went into office, supposedly.
Oh, classic.
It's about sort of famous American role models. It's called Of the Icing.
Of the Icing?
Mm.
Is it about icing?
It's not about icing. It's a very misleading title. But no, it's about famous Americans who are role models, like Jackie Robinson, who's the first major league first black major league baseball player, Sitting Bull, Billie Holiday. People like this.
You look quite dismissive of Billie Holiday there, not impressed.
I don't know anything about Billie Holiday, to be fair, but...
She's awesome. She's a singer.
Yeah. Well, I know that much.
Okay. You don't know why she deserves a book written about
somebody else, Cesar Chavez, is in there. He's the...
Hugo's cousin?
No, he's a labour activist, and I didn't know about
Hugo
this, but apparently he came up with Yes We Can before Obama. He ran a slogan.
No one ever said Yes We Can before
but he had a slogan called Si Se Puede, which is Yes You Can in Spanish.
Yes You Can?
Yes You Can.
Well, that's different. Obama's...
I can't be bothered to do it myself.
Well, he wishes he had said that, because by saying Yes We Can, he's made himself, you know, when it turns out that we can't, it's his fault. If he'd said Yes You Can, then he'd be like, well, it's not my fault, because it turns out that you can't. And you know, I couldn't be responsible for that.
That's a very good point. Jimmy Carter, apparently, after being president, he wrote a children's book as well. He wrote a children's book called The Little Baby Snugglefleeger.
Yeah, not impressed by this. I don't like, really, how celebrities, they kind of just go on these whims of writing children's books, because it's easy to do. All you need is to have a name that people recognise.
A stupid name.
Well, no, but I mean, you just have to have a name as an author. So, like, Ricky Gervais did, like, loads of these kids' books with, you know, appropriate
silly drawings,
additional cartoons and action figures. You know, I haven't read the books, but...
Are you saying, like, any idiot could write a children's book that would be popular if they're famous?
Basically. Jordan, for example, she's, like, one of the best-selling authors of any type of literature anyway, and also has her own children's books about ponies or something.
Have you read any of Jordan's books?
Again, not read any of them.
You shouldn't judge a book by its enormous-breasted author.
That's true.
As the saying goes.
It's a classic saying. Mm. Okay, well, no, I would back myself. If I had a bigger name, or, you know, I was the Tom Hoffman who is more famous than I am, I'd put out a children's book, because even him, who's not particularly famous, would probably sell better than an equivalently named person who was... writing a children's book from scratch.
Yeah.
So,
speaking
that's
of
what I'm saying.
Judging books by its covers and names and all that, do you hear about Staines wanting to rename itself?
No.
Okay.
Do you mean the concept of getting a stain?
No,
on
no,
you?
No.
So it's all the negative connotations, whereas it's more like kind of colourful additions.
Staines the town. It's presumably always Rice been lips. Burdened by the homonym that his name is with. stains that you get on your clothes, etc.
Yeah.
But
and
that's actually not the reason.
As well.
That's actually not the reason why that they want to change their name. Do you know why they want to change their name?
Is it because it was where Ali G was from?
Exactly.
He's become
so,
famous for that.
Yes. The Spellthorn Business Forum, which is based in Staines, has suggested that the town should change its name because they want to get away from the negative connotations brought to it by Ali G,
yeah.
Which is odd considering Ali G finished many, many years ago.
That's true. Not at their peak of their powers.
No. But yes, he says the town has had negative publicity due to the amusing slant placed on Staines because of Ali G, as if some negative slant didn't already exist there. He said it's actually really rather nice, has some fantastic natural beauty around it. And with the 2012 Olympics approaching, he said the name would stress Staines' location and make it more likely to attract people using the town as a base to watch events. Which is peculiar. I mean,
I don't know what events are going on in Staines, but
presumably he means people would watch events on the telly, like stop in Staines and watch, turn up in a pub just to watch events. Because yeah, I'm pretty sure there are no Olympic events going on in Staines.
Well, no, I don't know. Well, yeah, where is Staines even?
It's near Heathrow.
Okay,
so
this kid could conceivably have something around there.
Maybe, but what?
Don't know.
I don't know if it's got kind of the facilities to host some Olympic events.
You probably couldn't do the pole vaulting over there in case there was any sort of low-flying aircraft.
Good point.
I don't know exactly how you could get about that. Staines doesn't sound like the best sort of ideal venue. But then sort of people from other countries probably aren't going to have those connotations. Ali G did go to the USA, didn't he?
He did.
So maybe that did carry.
He did. Well, the proposal hasn't been universally popular. Claudette Curtis Jenkins, chair of the Staines Town Society, said, "The problem is, if we suddenly call ourselves Staines upon Thames, people would think it was another Staines." Staines upon Thames is the name they proposed to change it to. I don't know if I mentioned that.
You didn't mention that.
Okay.
That's not a great...
It's not a great change, is it?
No.
For one thing, it keeps the Staines connotation with stains on your clothes.
Yeah.
And for another thing, I disagree with Claudette. I think it's probably not big enough a change to make people change their perceptions of the town. It's still very much it's got the old name in it, for God's sake.
But I mean, it's hard to rename something completely, isn't it? I mean, these days a lot of people's addresses and stuff are there, you know. It's going to be a nightmare to fix. Staines upon Thames is just one of those things you can gradually kind of weave in, maybe. But no one's going to call it that way. They're just going to call it Staines.
Exactly. People are just going to shorten it anyway. So they need to be more imaginative. Can you think of any better names for Staines?
I'm not sure that I can. Have you come up with any good ones?
I might
bounce off your ideas. No,
I actually haven't.
You've got nothing. Well, Staines upon Thames, I don't think is that bad. I think you could go for that.
It's not a terrible name, but I don't know if it's worth. I mean, a huge amount of public expenditure. Other people are complaining to change all the signage and everything.
Well, sometimes you need people to think out of the box. I've got a good example of that this week with Mum Sparks Bomb Scare to Stop Wedding. A disapproving mother told Russian airport officials her daughter was a suicide bomber intent on blowing up a passenger jet in a bid to stop her flying away to marry. So yeah, I mean, that's going a bit far, but it does show good thinking, you know.
That's imaginative, certainly.
It's creative, you know. I like that. Maybe they should get her involved on the sort of policy name change for Staines, because she could probably contribute to that.
Yeah, speaking of airport security, these full body scanners that kind of show people as they look naked,
yeah.
They've received some negative attention. But recently,
I thought of a good name for Staines.
Okay,
you could call it Saint Ains. How about
Saint Ains? That's good.
Thanks.
The patron saint of unfortunate spillages.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Carry on.
Okay, a man in Australia.
I'll edit that in, actually. I'll make it sound like I'm really good. I'll chop that back in where we were earlier.
I'm on the editing this week.
Oh shit! Okay,
I'm
going
to leave it where it is.
Okay, fair enough.
I can't be bothered.
All right, carry on.
Yes, a man in Australia. He to get around having to take his to go through the scanner that kind of shows what he looks like naked. He had a brilliant idea. He took his clothes off instead.
Great. That's a good
idea. Stripped down to his underwear.
They didn't. I'm imagining this didn't end as well as I think it should have done.
No, he got arrested.
Okay.
He's due to appear in court on January the 7th. He said, "It was obvious that my underwear left nothing to the imagination. I was not willing to be molested again. I figured this way everyone would be happy. I don't get scanned or groped. They can verify that I'm not a danger to anyone, and the line would actually move more quickly because those pat downs take time."
Good point.
Another guy in Denver has come up with an even more imaginative way of maintaining his dignity when faced with the full-body scanners, he's come up with a special kind of underwear with strategically placed fig leaf design containing sort of metal fragments, tungsten and other metals, that would kind of hide his genitalia from the scanner. They can't see through it, but also this particular mix of metals, tungsten and stuff, apparently don't set off metal detectors. So that's probably a better solution.
Or go and make a gun out of these tungsten compounds and do it that way. That's the other way of doing it.
That's a danger.
Interesting. I don't want to go on about the royal wedding, but this story was interesting. Have you heard about the bishop who said the marriage wouldn't last for 7 years?
Yes.
And so he's been kicked out. I mean, I feel a bit of sympathy for him. This is what he wrote on his Facebook page. He said, I think we need a party in Calais for all good Republicans who can't stand the nauseating tosh that surrounds this event. I managed to avoid the last disaster in slow motion between Big Ears and the porcelain doll, and I hope to avoid this one too. He said that the wedding should belong to the family and criticised the media for descending into fawning, deferential nonsense. So there you go. I mean, what do you think about this?
I think he's right in terms of the overhyping in the media, but I wouldn't like to speculate about the prospects of how long their marriage is going to last.
That's true.
Probably a bit unfair.
That is unfair.
I don't know these people, and that's precisely why I'm not interested in reading about them in the media.
Exactly, I agree. this is someone who's gotten away with something this week. He may have thought he'd made a bit of a gaffe. A French duck farmer has been given a 1 month suspended sentence and fined €500 after feeding cannabis to his birds. The farmer from the village of Gripier Saint-Symphorien on France's Atlantic coast.
Where was that?
at the Atlantic coast.
Okay.
Admitted that he smoked some of the drug himself, but said most of it was given to his 150 ducks for medicinal purposes. There's no better worming substance for them. A specialist advised me to do it, said the farmer.
Is that backed up by science?
Well, none of the ducks had worms. So, you know, what can you do? What can you say?
Did he have a control experiment, though?
I don't know. But yes, I mean, good news for potheads,
probably good news for ducks as well.
Great news for ducks. I believe they're launching their own version called Canodbis. So we'll see how that goes.
That's very good.
Thanks.
Like it. Okay. Other France news. Eric Cantona is leading a public uprising. He's suggesting a new way of protesting against the banks and society and how powerful the banks are in society. He suggested that everybody should take their money out of the banks so that the banks would have no power.
I've been inadvertently doing this protest for the last sort of 10 years, sort of removing all of my money from the bank.
Yeah, how's that work be?
I mean, it seems to be the only strategy so far. I don't feel particularly revolutionary, but...
Anybody listening to your protest?
Well,
any impact?
I don't think it has. I don't think it has. But my money is certainly not lying around in banks. I like to take it out, keep it with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't like to stay with me very long. But
okay.
Do we know if Cantona's protest would work? Has anyone?
What he's saying is everybody should take all of their money out of the banks so that the banks would have no money. But then, the banks would be left no. People would lose their money if the banks collapsed. It seems a bit stupid, and also people would be more prone to robberies, etc. But his logic is this. He says, the revolution is really easy to do these days. What's the system? The system is built on the power of the banks, so it must be destroyed through the banks. This means that 3 million people with their placards on the streets, they go to the bank and they withdraw their money and the banks collapse. 3 million, 10 million people and the banks collapse and there is no real threat. A real revolution. We must go to the bank. In this case, there would be real revolution. It's not complicated. Instead of going to the streets and driving kilometres by car, you simply go to the bank in your country and withdraw your money. And if there are a lot of people withdrawing their money, the system collapses. No weapons, no blood, or anything like that.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
But apparently a lot of people are getting behind this. There's now a French-based movement called Stop Banque, and they're saying that 14,000 people are already committed to removing deposits. It's being led by one of the guys who's leading is Yann Sarfati, who's a 24-year-old actor and director from France. And I read that and thought, God, this guy's 24 and he's leading a public uprising. But then I thought, French people don't take a lot of persuading to join in a public uprising.
That's
so
true.
It's probably not that impressive.
And actor director, that is damning with faint praise. He knows what that could mean.
Unemployed, probably. But Valérie Ohanossian from the French Banking Federation, she said, if Mr. Cantona wants to take his money out of the bank, I imagine he'll need quite a few suitcases.
Zing. That is a tough break. I've got another kind of interesting story which has really caught my eye this week. 200 students admit cheating after professor's online rant. Have you heard about this?
No.
More than 200 students at the University of Central Florida have come forward to admit to cheating after their professor gave them a lecture on ethics that's become a YouTube hit. So basically, this guy, Professor Richard Quinn, someone had handed him a copy of the answers, basically, for his midterm and for his final end-of-year exam. And so he was suspicious that someone had leaked out, and then they saw that all the results were basically way better than they'd ever been before, and so it was very suspicious. And so they said, he told them that through statistical analysis and other investigatory techniques, he'd identified 95% of the cheats. But instead of handing this list over to the authorities for disciplining them, he proposed a deal. So he said that you could either wait it out and hope that they don't get identified, or you can identify yourself as having cheated to your lab instructor, and then you get to complete the rest of the course and keep the grade that you've got as you've earned it. And you would have to complete a 4-hour course in ethics. And then 200 people admitted to cheating.
So did he catch all of them? The other 5% he didn't find.
Well, we don't know. It's still ongoing. So far, 200 students have admitted cheating. Could be more on the way. What would you have done in that situation?
I wouldn't have cheated. I'm a decent.
Have you ever cheated at anything?
Not that I can remember.
Yeah, right. Come on, you tell you were thinking back to an event that happened. Come on.
How can you tell that?
Just because when you look up into your reaching into the back of your mind.
Bullshit.
It's true. You've definitely cheated. Stop getting angry at me just because you're angry.
I'm not angry. I'm.
You're only cheating.
I have
yourself.
Nothing to be angry about.
Well, that sounded quite defensive. I'm worried. Other exciting things that have happened this week. These things cannot be cheated because they're confirmed records. It was Guinness World Records Day on Thursday, so Guinness World Records Day 2010. There's a lot of great records being broken.
We tried to break some records, didn't we, on our other radio show.
I'm pretty sure I hold the world record for eating Jaffa cakes in a minute.
I don't remember that.
That I'm pretty sure that happened, but some of these are even better. Largest custard cream was 59 centimetres long, 39 centimetres wide.
Did somebody have to eat that in a minute?
They didn't have to eat that in a minute. They just had to make it. In the UK...
Anyone can make a large thing.
Just... Well, not the largest, though. In the UK, Ashrita Furman got the heaviest shoes walked in on Tower Bridge. She walked a distance of 10 metres in shoes, weighing a total of 146 kilograms.
Jesus.
That's pretty impressive.
How big is she?
Well, I don't know. It's significant.
Those boots are not made for walking.
They aren't. In the UK, the longest time to juggle three objects underwater. That's a time of 1 minute, 20 seconds. So, interesting. Mm-hmm. In Japan, they had the tallest tower of paper cups made in 30 seconds. In the UK, most torches lit and extinguished in a minute. Germany had the most nationalities in a sauna.
How is that record? How many nationalities?
By having more than before. How many do you think they had?
How big is the sauna?
The sauna is big enough for a large number of people.
Okay, let's say...
Don't worry about the size of that.
20 nationalities.
91. I know.
Okay, that is deserving of a record. I didn't know there were 91 nationalities in Germany.
Yeah. In Netherlands, they had the largest shoe.
How big was the shoe?
The shoe.
Wait, hold on.
I should. Yeah, that's. The largest shoe was 5 meters 50 by 2 meters 11, 3.9 meters high.
That's your shoe news for this shoe. Week.
That is, there's no more shoe. Tallest living married couple. They measure a combined 13 feet, 4.4 inches.
That's impressive.
That's good,
that is
it?
Like Peter Crouch marrying Andy Carroll.
That's
a very scary thought.
That is a scary thought. New Zealand got the largest bottle cap sculpture. The USA was the most dogs in costumed attire. Netherlands got the largest tug of war tournament. Albania had the largest screw mosaic.
What's a screw mosaic?
Mosaic made out of screws, I'm assuming. Oh, yeah. It was a paintbrush that was made out of screws. Yeah. Canada had
the
largest...
Doesn't sound like it's going to paint very well.
Canada had the largest Macarena dance. France had most high
kicks. How many people in the Macarena?
Don't know, too many. France had most high kicks by a single chorus line in 30 seconds, which was 720. That's pretty good. The France also got most rotations while juggling in 1 minute. Juggling five clubs in 1 minute. How many rotations do you think?
Most juggling in 1 minute.
Yeah.
What were they juggling?
Clubs. Five clubs.
60?
735.
Holy shit.
France
what?
Also got...
That's not possible.
Well, not for you. Not with that attitude. France won the most stairs climbed in 1 minute whilst balancing a person on the head. It's pretty good, isn't it?
Wow.
Germany, Joe Alexander, he caught 43 arrows from the air, and he also broke the most concrete block...
At once?
No, consecutively. And he won the most concrete blocks broken whilst holding a raw egg. That's pretty impressive. Japan had the largest melodica ensemble and the largest rice ball mosaic. USA had largest voodoo doll. In the UK, we had the largest gathering of people dressed as characters from Wizard of Oz.
Oh, we are so lame.
Well, that is really lame. But it was done by a primary school, so... longest duration spinning a basketball on the nose. What do you reckon for this one? How long do you think?
Was it won by a seal?
No,
by a human.
I assume a human.
It's 2 hours.
2 hours, 6.43 seconds. you could beat this if we get working on it.
That doesn't sound that hard.
Most people standing on one leg simultaneously, 335. It's pretty impressive. So that's records. That's records.
It's not very impressive. You just got to get large number of people together and then get them to do a very simple thing. The large numbers of people doing something simple awards. I'm not that impressed by it. Like getting nationalities in a sauna.
I think that's good. You thought 20, so why didn't you go higher? You clearly.
Not because I thought it was difficult, but I thought no one could be bothered to get hold of people from 91 different countries just to sit in a sauna and have this.
That sounds like the funnest thing ever.
All right, what can we break then for next week?
Well, the basketball on the nose. We do need a basketball, but I think you could do sort of 7 seconds on your nose.
My nose is too small.
Well, no, I think you'll be all right. It still peaks above your forehead. And if you sort of arch your face back a bit, then you might be all right.
My nose does not peak above my forehead.
It does. Turn profile. Of course it does.
I thought you meant like the top of my nose goes higher than my... forehead.
No, I mean if you were like lying flat, you could spin
that. I
see.
Okay.
Yeah. So well, don't worry. We'll maybe sort that out for you next week. I think we've got a good chance of doing that. But
okay.
just on that note, apparently attractiveness is all in the tilt of the head. The secret of attractiveness is how you tilt your head. Men and women can make themselves more appealing to the opposite sex by changing the way they angle their face.
All right. Let's do an experiment.
Okay.
Right.
So
I'm gonna start tilting my head, and you stop me when I become at my maximum attractiveness.
Okay. Go on then. No, that just looks creepy. I'm feeling so disturbed right now. Stop doing that. Anyway, you don't need. They've already found it out for you. There's no need to just test the experiment. It's already been done. Women can make themselves more appealing by angling their head forwards, so they have to look slightly upwards. So it's not like that. Angling the head forwards, so you're like that. So you're looking, you're like face downwards.
What, tilt your head downwards and point your eyes up?
Yeah, exactly, like that. That's pretty hot. In contrast, men become more masculine if they tilt their head back a bit and look slightly down their nose. Yeah. You're looking hot there, Wong. So yeah, I mean, psychologists found this out, so it's definitely true. I definitely had to do similar experiments to these. Like, when you're a psychology student, you have to, they basically, it's part of the course, they set you have to complete a number of credits, and those credits are basically taking part in the experiments of the people in the years above you. So virtually all the research that gets done on these type of things are done on kind of middle class psychology students.
Yeah.
So you should be cautious of those results, but I'm pretty sure these ones are accurate.
What did you find out in your project?
I can't remember. I was just, you know, you go in there, you do the experiment, and then you leave.
So you had to like go into things and then tilt your head in different ways, and people.
Normally, you just look at a computer screen of different faces, or there'd be someone with a red top on or stuff like that. You know, they would tweak a little bit. So yeah, but this, you can see this in the way people on their Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. They all, they like to
tilt their head.
Tilt their head. People love to tilt their head. Work in the MySpace angles, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense.
Okay. Did you hear about Silvio Berlusconi's office revamp this week?
I didn't, but I'm excited by the concept of it.
Silvio Berlusconi ordered a new penis for his statue of the god of Mars. It's a valuable statue in his office, and it's now been fitted with an artificial penis.
How big did he go for?
I think it was the normal size that fits the statue. It didn't say in this article. But it said artificial penis. Like, I'd be pretty freaked out if you got a statue and you put a real penis on it.
Yeah, that would be weird. You wouldn't want to do that.
But apparently this has cost the Italian taxpayer 70,000 euros or 60,000 pounds, which sounds like a lot.
That's a pricey wang.
In Britain, we're paying more than 100 grand a year to keep a knob in the Prime Minister's office. So
that's true. Cheap, it's a bargain. And they get on for years. That's just per year.
Yep.
Speaking of political sex, Spain orgasm video criticised by politicians. Spanish politicians have criticised a video by the Young Socialists in Catalonia in which a woman simulates an orgasm while casting her vote. Both socialist and opposition politicians have attacked the campaign video. The equality minister called it misleading advertising. In the video, the woman gets increasingly excited as she votes for the Socialist Party. It concludes with the phrase, voting is a pleasure, after she puts her voting slip in the ballot box. The Socialist Equality Minister, Bibiana Aedo, said of the video, if it was true, electoral participation would go up greatly, but I think we are dealing with a misleading advert. Yeah. The leader of the Green Coalition, Joan Herrera, said it would be very difficult to reach orgasm voting for any of the candidates, myself included.
Well, they give you a little booth to go in, don't you? I mean, what you do in the booth is up to you.
I don't know if that's how they do it in Spain. You know, maybe... I don't think they have the kind of closed-off booth. But we're more reserved over here, so, you know... You don't know, we need our own privacy, a little sort of curtain to draw and stuff.
Yeah. People are too ashamed. If you think if you had open curtains, the Conservative vote would go down.
You would think that, yeah.
I saw a report on Channel 4 News yesterday about how the Republicans in Oklahoma put something on the midterm election. They asked people to vote on whether they wanted to ban Sharia law, even though Oklahoma has a tiny, tiny Muslim population, and no one was suggesting that Oklahoma implement Sharia law.
How did that poll turn out?
They voted to ban Sharia law, and Sharia law is now banned in Oklahoma.
That's good to know.
But they got people to turn out at the ballot box, basically, and got more votes for the Republicans. Yeah. And they also got to say, hey, this Democrat candidate, he voted in favour of allowing Sharia law in Oklahoma. And, yeah, people didn't like that.
Brilliant. What an adult conversation.
I know.
You've got to love that shit.
In Japan, meanwhile, the justice minister has had to resign because he was... in a speech, he boasted about how easy his job is. Minoru Yanagida said, being justice minister is easy, as I only have to remember two phrases, either of which I can use in Parliament whenever I'm stuck for an answer. His two stock answers were, I will not comment on specific cases, and we are dealing with the matter in line with the law and evidence.
Well, brilliant.
I'm all for politicians being more honest, but he really shot himself in the foot there. But this is increasing pressure on the Japanese Prime Minister, Naoto Kan, who is the fifth Prime Minister in Japan since 2006. QPR managers have better job expectancy than that.
Well, that's true. Well, speaking of telling it how it is, did you see the Irish Daily Star this week?
No.
This is the front page of the Daily Star in giant font. Do you want to just read this out for the listeners?
Okay. Useless gobshites.
So on the front page of the Daily Irish Star, it just is a picture of the government, and it just says useless gobshites in giant font, which you got to love there. They're really telling it how it is.
You don't expect they're not mincing
gobshites to be on the sort of front page.
Well,
I like that.
I wouldn't put it past some of our tabloids.
Yeah, well, hopefully now this is set a precedent that they can... a bar they can reach. Yeah, Insight said, nation brought to its knees by gouger politicians, wanker banker buddies and their developer chums. So they're really angry. They've not had that sub-edited
out. You've got some Irish heritage, haven't you?
I do.
What do you make of the Irish financial situation?
It's not good. It's not good at all. You know, my sort of grandparents fled over here back in the day. And
good move on their part,
forward thinking. Yeah, any other exciting news for us this week?
Yes, apparently there is according to new figures, we're faced with a grey crime wave in Britain, or the rise of
I suspected as much.
The saga louts. as they're being referred to in the press. This is sort of big rises in the numbers of over 65s being arrested or convicted of crimes, between 15% and 25% rise in the numbers of pensioners being arrested. In Scotland, the trend is particularly marked. A number of over 65 charged with drug and weapon crimes have more than doubled in the last 4 years, and there's been a 50% rise in senior citizen indecency. More than 5,000 crimes were committed last year by Scottish pensioners. So big problem. Old people getting more desperate, perhaps. I don't know. It's tough times.
It's tough times. But it's coming up for Christmas. Not all bad for old people. Age has proved no barrier to Cliff Richard as he gets the number one male celeb calendar vote. He's currently top of the list on Amazon's figures. So he's beating Peter Andre, Michael Bublé, Justin Bieber, and JLS to the number one spot.
That's impressive. The old people out and forth. It's the aging population, isn't it, resulting in more old people's calendars and more old people in prisons.
Yep. Sir Cliff has been the biggest all-time biggest seller for calendar maker Danilo, with more than 1.5 million sold over the years. That's impressive.
Very impressive.
It's great stats. Apparently one of the pictures of him stripped to the waist, so that's exciting with people.
Wow.
I once lived somewhere where the girl I lived with had a calendar of Hollyoaks hunks in the toilet, and I like moved in sort of at the end of the month, and it was okay. It was one of the sort of, you know, normal guys. You can sort of deal with that. And then like the remainder of the month I was there, it was like a picture of Tony from Hollyoaks with his top off. No one needs to see that. Don't know if you're aware of Tony.
I'm not aware of Tony.
Tony,
don't
offense, Tony, if you're listening.
Hollyoaks.
Tony, you know, good actor at what you did. You know, very solid. But I don't need to see you.
Is he overweight?
I wouldn't say he was overweight. He just, you know, it's just not a sexy person.
Yeah.
You know, not a good looking person, really. Mm. I feel bad now.
Was he tilting his head the wrong way?
Yeah, I think that was the main thing. And I could see his nipples, but mostly the head tilting.
Mm. Okay. If someone gave you an artichoke, changing the topic completely, would you know how to eat an artichoke?
Yeah,
you're pretty confident.
I'm fairly confident. Put it on a pizza.
I've eaten artichokes on pizzas. I don't remember there being a problem, but maybe they only give you part of the artichoke because a doctor in Miami is suing a restaurant for failing in its duty to explain the proper method of consuming an artichoke. Arturo Carvajal was admitted to hospital with severe abdominal pain and discomfort after eating a whole artichoke, leaves choke and all. It was discovered he had artichoke leaves lodged in his small intestine. He said he'd never seen or heard of the dish before and complained that his waiter did not tell him that the outside portion of the leaf was indigestible.
Right.
Do you think that's fair enough, or do you think that...
It's the sort of thing that I'd find really difficult in that situation. Like, I'm not even fully sure now which bit of the prawn I'm supposed to eat and which bit I'm not. You know, this same thing could happen with an artichoke and I would probably be stumped. Because I've had artichoke, you know, hearts, but yep. I don't know, you know, how it comes.
No,
you
I know. Don't think
but
I've
then
seen
equally, if you got given a coconut, which you wouldn't expect them to eat the shell.
I think if something is, like, hard and unpleasant, then avoid it. Stop eating it.
Good thinking.
If you think, my mouth doesn't like this, chances are your intestine isn't going to like it either.
That's a great rule.
It's a good rule.
You should teach kids that sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe I will. Did you hear about Innocent Smoothies and their tax battle?
No, I've not heard about this.
They were fighting against having to pay VAT on their smoothies because raw fruit, they argued, is not subject to VAT, but beverages are. So they've been charged 17.5%, and they've lost their battle there. And they're complaining that unhealthy foods don't normally have to... More unhealthy foods don't have any of this tax, but their smoothies do have to pay tax. It does seem pretty logical. So, I mean, there's other similar cases over the years, like M&S tea cakes. They fought a court battle against the tax man, and it was ruled that their cakes are actually cakes, and cakes are not subject to VAT, whereas biscuits are.
Yeah.
And Pringles, they went through the courts because they were arguing that they weren't actually crisps, even though it said potato crisps on the container. But because it was only 42% potato, they didn't have to pay VAT.
Good thinking. Jaffa Cakes as well, famous example.
Jaffa Cakes, another famous example. But yeah, supposedly VAT you have to pay on luxury items, whereas your essential food and drinks you have to pay 70. 5.5%. But you're a big smoothie fan, aren't you?
I like smoothies, but I make them myself, so I buy
that's
the
fruit. A way to get around the
yeah,
VAT.
Yeah, sensible.
That's our Paper Cuts top tip this week, if you like smoothies.
I don't like to advertise for people, but you should get the Kenwood smoothie to go. It's one of the greatest products ever known to man. And if Kenwood are listening and they want to give me a second one with some spare cups, that would be great. But even just buy one. They're like 30 quid. You smash out a smoothie, take it away in a cup with you, no washing up. It's bang on. Here's one product. I don't know whether it will be subject to VAT or not. Brewers in Holland have come up with a new product that enables a man to buy a beer for his best friend, his pet dog. The newly launched dog beer is made from a special blend of beef extracts and malt to keep a beer taste but add some meaty goodness.
Oh, that sounds great. Why is it just for dogs? I want beefy beer.
Well, I think you can get it as well. For large dogs, we would recommend one bottle a day. And for things like a chihuahua, well, they prefer shorts.
Is it alcoholic?
No, it's not. I don't think it is, no. Dog owner Victor Piotrowski tried the drink. I said, "My dog loves it. Now when we go for a walk, we can both go to the pub." That's lovely. So
last week I went to QPR versus Preston North End, and I had a Bovril for the first time.
It was good, wasn't it? I knew you would like it.
Yeah, Bovril is good. I can definitely...
Like meaty tea, isn't it?
Yeah. We're getting into the product placement part of the show now, obviously. But Bovril, it's great. It's delicious. So maybe I'll try mixing Bovril with beer and see how it turns out.
Yeah, why not? It's like the new mulled wine.
Mm. Okay, more dog news. Dog mess is a big problem in France. Apparently, the Japanese...
It sure is.
The Japanese used the large amounts of dog shit on the streets of Paris as a reason for opposing their Olympic Games bid. Police in Toulouse have got a new way of dealing with this. Public officials are going to have sat-nav devices, and they're going to walk around and log the coordinates of dog shit on the streets of Toulouse so that street cleaners can find it and clean it up.
Brilliant. That sounds like a valuable
high-tech way. Yep.
I like it. My final story of this week... it's a real heartwarmer, this one, but it's the sort of heartwarmer that makes it into the news. I'll give you the title. Man has his mother's beard. A US man finally tracked down his birth mother to find out she is a world-famous bearded lady. Richard Lorenc has been reunited with Vivian Wheeler, who once worked in a circus sideshow. So, Miss Wheeler inherited her mother's condition of hypertrichosis, also known as werewolf syndrome. I don't know if it is known as that, I mean. You get excessive facial hair. She once got a Guinness Book of Records for having the longest beard grown by a female, an impressive 11 inches.
Wow.
And they're now reunited, which is lovely. So congratulations, guys.
Okay, does she still have her beard?
Yeah, the picture there is particularly...
Oh, my God.
I'll
tweet it. Looks like the hairy bikers.
I don't know if that is the actual picture. I don't know. But if it is, that's terrifying.
Terrifying, and yet kind of touching.
And it's very sweet. It's very moving. It is very moving. No, yep. It's not terrifying. It's lovely.
Okay, my final story. A guy, this is from NY Daily News, a guy in Staten Island tried to rob a pizza shop. He went in and he demanded that the shop attendants hand over a bag that he thought contained the day's proceeds. They resisted, and he shot the guy twice in the legs. Eventually, he gave him the bag. He ran off, and then he discovered that the bag contained pizza dough. And he's now been arrested.
That's a massive fail.
I don't know why did the guy resist when he was only holding a bag of pizza dough? That's why he got shot twice in the legs. That's pretty harsh. For some pizza dough.
Committed employee.
There must be some pretty good pizza that they cook this place. But yeah.
Well, we can commend them, but I think I would probably let the pizza dough go.
Yeah,
at that stage. Okay, so that's it for this week.
Yep.
Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back again next time.
Oh, hang on. We said last week, didn't we, that we would do something for the Big Society.
I forgot about this. Have you done something?
No, I haven't. I
think we're
already doing something because the BBC having to have a freeze in the license fee, their budget's going down. So by doing this kind of broadcasting and news service, we are already kind of taking part in the Big Society.
That's true.
My excuse.
Very good.
And
point.
My other thought was. The UK Film Council, I think that was abolished.
Yeah.
Because of the spending cuts, but we should make a film instead.
Yes, I am going to make a film. This is going to happen sometime before Christmas, so stay tuned, listeners. And if you've got any good ideas or want to be in my film, then get in touch and you can be in the film.
Cool. One more news story, actually. Big Society was actually chosen as the Oxford Word of the Year for 2010.
That's worrying.
It's well, word or phrase.
Okay.
Phrases are allowed.
It should become just one word. Big Society.
Big Society.
Could just be buzzword.
Which is impressive considering last week we talked about how people aren't really sure what it means. But apparently David Cameron's definition, he said it's the biggest, most dramatic redistribution of power to date, from elites in Whitehall to the man and woman on the street. And when he says power, he of course means responsibility. What do you think were the other words that he'd had to fight off to become...
Well, that's this year.
This year's big words.
Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela is one of the other ones, and Boris Bike as well.
Boris Bike.
Which is funny because I know some people were quite upset because the Boris Bikes are actually Ken's idea, supposedly.
Wow.
So Boris has been getting
Kensicle.
The credit.
Kensicle.
That's a good word. Kensicle. Good. Okay.
How things could have changed. That's what they would. What would they have been called if they weren't? If Boris hadn't been in.
Kensicle?
Kensicle's good. Yep. I like it. I'll trademark that. Well, Ken's running again, isn't he? So maybe they'll have
probably.
To change back.
He'll probably rebrand the whole thing. Last year they couldn't come to a decision. The Word of the Year award was shared between TweetUp, Simples, Staycation and Jegging.
Wow. That's a bad sort of condemnation of last year. Although TweetUp's are good.
TweetUp's are good.
Can be nice.
Previous winners include Bothered, Credit Crunch and Footprint. And apparently the
footprint.
Yeah, I think the use
carbon
of the word
footprint.
For like carbon footprint or energy footprint, that kind of thing. But the American award this year for Word of the Year went to Refudiate, which is coined by Sarah Palin. It's a mix of refute and repudiate.
Wow, that's good work. She's reached out for a big word and made up a new one. Who can argue
that? Yeah, I mean, she really is up there with George Bush in the great kind of coiners of new vocabulary.
That's what we need. Pioneer of language.
Like, George Bush's famous one? Misunderestimate.
Oh, misunderestimate.
Misunderestimate.
Yeah, that's true. Wicked. All right, well, thanks for joining us. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.